Let's pray. Loving Father, as we listen to your word now, please teach us to have a right attitude to giving. And please help us to make decisions that are pleasing to you as a response to your goodness and grace to us in your Son, Christ Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.
So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Fee. Please do keep that passage open in front of you. So we're thinking today about our giving as members of this church. And this passage should be helpful to us as we think that through. The context of the letter from the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth is a specific one. It concerns a specific need of particular people at a certain point in time. The Christians in Jerusalem were experiencing hardship, and the Christians in Corinth were able to help. And they'd wanted to help. Paul's missionary colleague, Titus, had visited them the previous year, and they had pledged their support. But now the time was approaching for Paul to come and visit to collect their gift. So he sends Titus ahead of him with this letter to make sure that his visit doesn't catch the Corinthians by surprise. He doesn't want to embarrass them when he comes by finding them unprepared. So he sends Titus ahead of him to see that their collection is complete and ready by the time he arrives. So this letter then relates to a particular need at a certain time in history. However, the principles that Paul lays out here apply more generally to all Christian giving, which is why we're going to look at them now together. We normally only talk about giving about once a year. So I'm going to talk about it now without embarrassment, because it's an important part of Christian discipleship. And fairly quickly, I'm going to run through three principles of Christian giving that we find in these verses, before we then go on to review our finances as a church together. So here's the first thing Paul says. He says, Christian giving produces a harvest. Christian giving produces a harvest. And Paul begins with a maxim or a saying. Verse 6, remember this, he says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So it's a saying based on fundamental principles of farming. If a farmer wants to reap a plentiful harvest, then he needs to sow plenty of seed. If he doesn't sow anything, then he won't reap anything. Likewise, if he sows sparingly, he'll reap sparingly. The size of the harvest will correspond to the quantity of seed he sows. The more seed he sows, the greater the harvest he'll reap. Well, in agriculture, at least, that's just common sense. And Paul's saying here that Christian giving is the same. For a Christian, giving is as sensible as sowing is for a farmer. And that should encourage us. Paul's saying that we can use our money for good. We can use it to bring about a spiritual harvest. And that should be an encouraging thought. In the context of our giving review today, the money we give enables gospel ministry to be done. And if gospel ministry is being done, people of all ages are learning about Jesus. And if people of all ages are learning about Jesus, then a spiritual harvest will follow. And it stands to sense that the more we give, the more gospel ministry can be done, and the greater the harvest will be. And as I've said, I think that should really encourage us. We might think that our giving to the church is money that we'll never see again. We might be tempted to think that it's money down the drain, and we'll hardly get enthusiastic about giving if that's how we see it. But Paul's encouraging us here to see it differently. Our giving is money well invested for the growth of Christ's kingdom. And the more we sow, the greater the harvest. Now, of course, the PCC has a responsibility to make sure that the money given to the church is used well. And those who teach the Bible here have a responsibility to make sure that they teach it faithfully. And we all have a responsibility to pray for the ministry that's going on here. But Paul's encouraging us to have an enthusiastic and generous attitude towards our giving, knowing that it will produce a harvest for Christ's kingdom. So secondly, Paul says, Christian giving should be planned and cheerful. Christian giving should be planned and cheerful. Verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So as Paul prepares the Corinthians to make their gift to the church in Jerusalem, he doesn't tell them just to throw a few spare coins in a collection bag. He tells them to give what they've decided in their hearts to give. In other words, he's telling them to think about what they give in advance, to consider it carefully and pray about it, and to give what they've decided is appropriate. We all have responsibility to use what we have wisely. And that means being thoughtful and prayerful about what we decide to give. Now, of course, there is a place for spontaneous, impromptu giving in the Christian life. It's good to dig deep into our pockets and give spontaneously to meet a need before us, perhaps to an individual in need, or in response to an appeal. But normal Christian giving is the result of deliberate, prayerful decision. Now, people decide what they'll give in different ways. Following principles laid down in the Old Testament, some people tithe. In other words, they give away 10% of all they receive. Others view that 10% as a minimum for their giving. Others will give less. The New Testament doesn't tell us how much we should give, but it does tell us to give deliberately what we have prayerfully decided beforehand to give. And that way, we can give cheerfully and generously, rather than begrudgingly or reluctantly. Now, whatever decisions we make, they should be happy ones. If you go to a house with children in it, it's lovely if one of the children come up to you and offer you one of their sweets, with a big smile on their face. That's lovely, isn't it? But if the child only offers you a sweet begrudgingly because they've been told to do that by one of their parents, well, that takes all the pleasure out of it, doesn't it? Our Heavenly Father delights in what we give, but even more in how we give. He loves a cheerful giver because he himself is a cheerful giver. He has gladly and graciously given us all things in Christ. So I need to ask myself, why do I give? Is it to relieve my guilt? Is it just because I think I ought to? Am I feeling pressured into it? Or is it a willing and glad response to God's grace? Now, as we think of our own giving, we should ask ourselves, do I put in the collection bag just what happens to be lying around at home in the morning when I set off? Or do I prayerfully set aside a certain amount each week to bring along with me? If we give by standing order, we should ask ourselves, do I review on a regular basis the amount I give? Or do I let my giving just tick over from month to month? The decision about how much you give, how often and to whom, is between you and God. It's what you have decided in your heart to give, Paul says. In other words, it's a private and personal matter. It's no one else's business, unless you're married, of course. So if you give to support the ministry here at Emmanuel, the people who know about it are our treasurer and the person who deals with our gift aid. And they only know because they need to, for the sake of good bookkeeping and to claim tax relief. So when I speak to people about their giving, I only want to know three things. Are you giving as the Bible encourages you to? Now, are you doing so prayerfully? And are you doing so in a tax-efficient way? Now, I don't want to know how much any one of us is giving or to whom. That's between you and God. But I do want to encourage each one of us to give deliberately and prayerfully in support of gospel ministry as the Bible urges us to do. So then, Paul says that Christian giving produces a harvest. Christian giving should be planned and cheerful. And finally, Christian giving brings blessing, not hardship. Look at verse 8. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, this isn't the prosperity gospel. This isn't saying that if you give generously, then God will make you rich. But he is saying that God will provide for you. Not only does God want us to give generously, he also provides the means for us to do so. Now, giving generously may appear to be reckless, especially when we don't possess very much in the first place. We may fear that we'll be worse off as a result. But Paul says that when we give generously, we discover that somehow God is more than able to supply all our needs. When we're generous, he will see to it that we can continue to be generous. When we give gladly, he'll equip us to go on doing so. And Christian giving isn't dangerous or reckless. You and I can give generously, knowing that our giving will produce a harvest. And we can give cheerfully because we've prayerfully decided beforehand what to give, free from any pressure. And we can give confidently, knowing that God will always supply our needs. Well, in a moment, we'll think a bit more about what that looks like for us here at Emmanuel. But we're going to just pause. I'm going to say a short prayer and then we're going to sing again. But let me pray. Loving Father, as we consider our giving this morning, please help us to take to heart the things that we've just read in your word and to act on them as we are each able. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.